My name is Jim. I'm an alcoholic. For those who care to, please join me in the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to the sponsorship group 9th anniversary. We're glad you're all here. Clancy is sick, if you haven't figured that out by now. He's got to have some surgery this coming week. He's got some minor complications. He said that, I just got off the phone with him. He said he anticipates a speedy full recovery. If not, you can fight over his stereo. Okay, tonight's format is two 15-minute speakers followed by the main course. And our first speaker, I guess, was reading his part about you might have to fight with him if he gets violent. I guess he didn't see the violent part, but I'd like to introduce John.
I'm John, I'm an alcoholic. Nice, Mike. It's really good to be sober, and it's good to be here. My sobriety is September 17, 2006, and this is my home group. And there's a lot of emotion here. I just wanted to share something because the other day I was. Sometimes I forget. There's people in the beginning that like really lay down their lives for me. I forget that how much I inconvenienced them, you know, and that I don't think I could ever give back as much as it was given to me, because I was given a whole new life. But I was listening to an old tape of Clancy, and I start crying because he was 15 years sober. He was speaking at Founders Day out in Akron, Ohio. 1973, and he was talking about how he was just so grateful that this old cranky guy named Bob gave him another shot. You know, I was just like, oh my God. I could just feel the sincerity. Because I have heroes in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I had to say that because, you know, 3.5 years ago, my sponsor took me into his home. And sometimes I forget, man, how crazy I was. You know, I was just, I forget quickly how crazy, I mean, our dynamic of our group has changed a lot. And, you know, the one thing that has remained steady is that, you know, we're a very active group. You know, we go out every night still. You know, and that to me is Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm carrying a message. You know, I'm trying to help people, and I'm trying sincerely to give back that was so freely given to me. You know, and I mean, what my sponsor did for me was he taught me that my ideas, first of all, were not good. You know, even to this day, you know, I still have to surrender to a certain point and say that, you know, maybe John doesn't know what's best for my life. You know, maybe that I need to allow another human being to really intercede my great ideas. You know, I think that was the point that, you know, when I was listening to Clancy that day that he was making, that he was eternally grateful to a guy named Bob that showed him some basic principles to live by. You know, he showed him that that his life really was unmanageable due to him calling all the shots. You know, he needed to really, I had to start from the bottom and work back, you know, don't know where I'm at now, but I mean, I don't feel like I'm at the bottom anymore. But I came into AA and my life was a disaster. It was. It was a total disaster, physically, mentally, and spiritually. And I didn't really know the kind of condition I was in. I don't think many people do. You know, I was 32 years old, and I didn't have a friend in the world. I mean, that's a lonely spot to be in. You know, I'm sitting in jail, and I got no one to call. And it was probably the best spot I could ever be in my life, you know, because I was finally willing to do something different. That's it. You know, I wasn't going to do anything different until I ran out of options. I still had some good ideas. My sponsor's here, so I can't really talk about them. But but I got to that point they talk, you know, where I was beaten into a state of surrender, a certain amount of surrender, where I was willing to listen to this man and I was willing to follow some direction not my own making. You know, and my sponsor told me from the beginning, he's like, the reason why you keep having the same results is because you keep taking the same actions. You know, I just didn't know any better, really. He's like, you know, if you want to have a new experience, take different actions. You know, and I have some great teachers in Alcoholics Anonymous. I truly do. I mean, I listen to speaker tapes. I listen to a lot of people, you know, because I don't think anyone has one set, you know, they got their hand on it, you know. But what I found was that in my sponsor, I found someone that I could listen to. I found someone that, you know, no matter how much I couldn't stand this guy at some points in my life, that on a certain level I was willing to just say, Uncle, I was willing to be like, okay, you're right, I'm wrong. You know, and that's been the cornerstone of my sobriety. You know, I have to continually, you know, really, truly believe that, you know, my ideas are really not that good. You know, and that if I keep doing the things I was taught early in sobriety, you know, I get up in the morning and I pray, you know, and I read a couple pages in the big book. I learned that from my grand sponsor, Tom Flynn. I can't handle more than two pages, really. You know, more than two pages is like, woof, you know, two pages though, and I get some spiritual inflow. I mean, I truly believe that for me to have spiritual outflow, I need to have something coming in, you know, and I start my day like that, and I've been trying to meditate, and I try and stay in contact with other alcoholics, you know, and every night I go out and I try and carry a message to detoxes and rehabs and jails, you know. And I was the other night, man, I was in my spot, Delaney Hall, you know. I mean, those are my people, you know. I go in there and I feel like at home, you know, because I understand, you know. And I go in there and I just carry a message of hope and recovery from my heart, from the big book. And I mean, it's amazing how when you really truly carry a message from your heart, that people just like want what you got. They want to know how you did this. They want to know how you stayed sober 3.5 years. And I have no desire to put anything in my body that alters my mind. And I just, man, I'm so grateful to be sober today. I really truly am. I mean, I can't even believe all the gifts I've been given from this program. You know, that my family has some respect for me today. You know, I have friends that actually, that believe in what I do. I mean, recently I spoke down in Belmar, and I had a friend that I grew up with, and it was so nice to like see somebody in the crowd, and this guy, he's like, man, everything I talked about, he experienced with me. And you know, he's not an alcoholic, but he's like, man, he's like, he's so perplexed by AA. He really is. It's not, what he's perplexed by is that the spiritual aspect of this, how we can come together and just like, man, there's something, when you get into a room of Alcoholics Anonymous, man, it is just so powerful. You can't even describe it. He was like, I felt it. And I told him, I said, that's what I learned about AA. You know, I learned that if I just keep doing the things that I learned early in sobriety, that, you know, I can do anything. The sky's the limit. You know, I came in here a 6-time felon. You know, and I had no hope. And today I have hope. I truly do. I have some truly good friends. I have really good relationships with people around me. And believe me, I lack in a lot of areas, and there's a lot of people that's always can testify to that. You know, but the one thing that remains strong with me is that I truly have a desire to help people. I truly want to pass this on. I want to give somebody the opportunity to have the life that I have. And that's what Clancy was portraying in that message. That he never wants to forget that somebody gave him the opportunity. That someone didn't close the door on him. You know, and that's what my sponsor did for me. Nobody was taking me in. Nobody was like, oh, come live with me, John. You know? What an inconvenience. Yeah? But he took me in and he quickly showed me some real quick principles to live by. You know, and the one thing I've learned about people who live by principles, they're not going to be the most popular. And you're going to have to stand up for things that you truly believe in your heart. And you're not going to be the most popular guy doing that. But the one thing is that I'll be okay with myself. I can put my head on the pillow at night and be like, I'm okay with myself. I'm okay with the actions I'm taking today. And just in closing, I want to, I really want to just thank Tom Flynn, because Tom's been a big part of our group. I think Tom's probably helped our group more than any single man. You know, he's come up here and he sat down with us and he shared his experience and his strength and his hope. And, you know, he's just, every day, there's people, I pray for my sponsor, Jim, I pray for Tom Flynn, and I pray for Clancy. Because that's my lifeline. You know? I want to thank you for having me speak tonight, and I'm really grateful to be sober today. Thank you.
Thanks, Johnny. And next is Patty Burke.
Hi, my name is Patty Burke, and I am an alcoholic. And I love when John was talking about the cranky old man, because that's exactly what Tom is to me. I love him. He absolutely saved my life. I spent more time with Tom than I spent with anybody in my entire life, including my kids. I spent every single day with him for 6.5 years. And I just miss him. And my sobriety date is June 10, 2002, and my home group is Solution on the Shore, right? I just joined that group. I had to keep getting mixed up with the name. And it's Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and I'm happy to be back in Jersey. Haven't lived here in 15 years, and I love Alcoholics Anonymous. What Alcoholics Anonymous has done for me, it's given me a whole brand new life, not a patched up old life, and for that I'll be forever grateful. And I don't think I'll ever be able to pay Alcoholics Anonymous back what it's done for me. But I keep suiting up and showing up and trying to pass this message on. Because I know there's hope in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, because before I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, I couldn't go 20 minutes without a drink. You know, I thought that if you had a lot of stuff and then the outside looked good, you'd be okay. And towards the end of my drinking, you know, I lived on 400 acres and I owned a restaurant and I had a husband and a really young boyfriend and three cars and kids and animals. And it looked like I was doing pretty damn good. And on the inside, I was absolutely dying. And all that stuff had to go away because it was getting away in my drinking, you know. And it doesn't matter how many DUIs I had and how many marriages I had and that I drank for 23 years and how many jails I went to. None of that makes me an alcoholic. None of it does. Because people who drink a lot have a lot of problems, you know. But what makes me an alcoholic is that I have an allergic reaction to alcohol. Once I start drinking, I cannot stop. And when I stop, all I do is think about it until I pick it up again. You know, and towards the end of my drinking, when all that stuff had to go, I wound up living in a crack hotel. You know, doing things that I never dreamed I would ever do because that's not how I was raised. And every day was so hard for the things that I had to do each and every single day to get me out of me. And everything on the inside and everything on the outside was gone. And I had nowhere to go but to God. And I know there's a God because God's the only one I ask for help. You know, and I wound up in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, absolutely terrified, weighing 80 pounds. Showing up to meetings not knowing what people were talking about. You know, I'd hear people say, even if your ass is small enough, just pick it up and get to a meeting. I had no idea what that meant, you know. And I didn't even have an ass, you know. 80 pounds, you don't have an ass, you know. And I just kept showing up to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous because I had nowhere else left to go. And I started hearing things in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'd hear people talk about the hole in the soul. And that's how I felt my whole life, like I had a hole in my soul, and I could just never put words to it. You know, and I seen this woman, and she absolutely glowed. And I know it was God who put her in my life because I hear people talk about how they walk into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and they see the people with the bright, shiny eyes. And I certainly didn't see anybody's bright, shiny eyes when I got here because I was filled with guilt and shame for the things that I did because nobody took anything from me. I gave everything away. I gave those kids away. I gave everything away to drink the way I needed to drink. And when I seen this woman in chaps in the glow, she talked about how she felt like the scum of the earth her whole life, and she didn't feel that way today, and she certainly didn't look that way. You know, and I went up and I asked her if she'd be my sponsor, because I tell you, I don't know how long I was sober, maybe 60 days, and I thought I was going out of my mind. I thought I started thinking that maybe I had a mental illness, because my head was attacking me so bad. And when I asked this woman to sponsor me, she asked me if I was willing to go to any lengths, and I said, absolutely. Because I went to any lengths to drink. And what she told me is she said, Patty, you know, people have been telling you your whole life if you just stop drinking, you'd be okay. And she said, and you stop drinking, and you are definitely not okay. Drinking has never, and I definitely was not okay. She said, drinking has never been your problem. Drinking has always been your solution. And now your solution stopped working. You needed a new solution. And she said, what my problem was, I had a spiritual malady, and what I needed was a spiritual solution. And what I needed to do is do these 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous as they're laid out in the big book. And that's what I started to do. I still have to go through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and I tell you, I had no idea what was going on around me. I could barely read or write. Thank God for Tom Flynn, because Tom Flynn taught me how to read and write and spell. Not that I can do it good, but a lot better. And I started to go through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and my outside world absolutely did not get better. I had to go to jail for my 50 UI. My father died. I'm still living in a recovery house. I have a curfew. I'm going through divorce. I haven't seen my kids. And for the first time in my life, I'm absolutely free on the inside. And I tell you, when I got through those 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and had that spiritual awakening, I just wanted to pass this. I wanted to save the world. And that's what I tried to do. You know, I was out picking homeless people up. They're shipping them to me. Jim took me out to do my amends, and he bought me this lumber because I lived in this old store. It was an apartment and had really high ceilings, and Jim bought me lumber, and we were going to build a loft because I'm going to start stacking these drunks up. I'm going to start collecting them. And what happened is, Nobody stayed sober, but me. And then one day, two of the girls that I was sponsoring went out together, and I lost it. I started crying, and I couldn't do it no more. I wasn't doing this anymore. And I went to Tom, and I said, Tom, I'm not doing this. These people are not listening to me. He said, Patty, they're not supposed to listen to you. And I'm thinking, he's just old. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And he said, Patty, you're just the paper girl. You're just supposed to deliver the message. What they do with it is between them and God. Go home and pray about this and ask God to show you in obvious ways what you're supposed to do. And that morning I woke up and I prayed and I left my house. And I walked out on my porch and a paper boy abandoned his paper bag on my porch. So God was pretty obvious. And I'm so happy to be here. Jim has been a major part of my sobriety since I first got sober. And I'm happy to be sober today, and I never thought I would ever want to be sober. My last year, I've been living in Florida, and I tell you, it's the hardest year of my sobriety. You know, I get to Florida, and everything in my world is gone. And I'm so used to, I didn't realize how much of dependency I put on human powers. I just didn't know. And I had no other choice but to go to God again, like I did when I first got sober. You know, and my head is attacking me, and my heart's attacking me, and I just feel like I'm going to die. And I am so right on target with a new person, because my head is exactly where they are. That I'm so effective sponsoring them when I'm in Florida and I'm walking this beach and I'm praying and I'm reaching out to God. And I started thinking to myself, I started thinking, you know what I really need? I really need like a really manly man, spiritual boyfriend. is what I think I need. And I know God loves me, and I feel like He loves me the best. And I know God answers all my prayers. He does, you know. And I'm praying, and I run into this guy, right? And he's powerful, strong AA. He's freaking awesome. And he calls me up one day, and he says, Patty, do you want to go for a motorcycle ride on a Harley? And I'm thinking, God loves me the best, you know. So he comes and picks me up, and we're driving on this Harley. And it's like, it's nighttime, and the moon is shining, and we're going over these bridges, and there's palm trees, and it's fabulous, and my hair is blown in the wind. I'm thinking, this is so awesome. God loves me. He's answering my prayers. He's sending me this fabulous boyfriend. And so we get down by the beach, and he says to me, Patty, you want to get pizza? And pizza's my favorite food. And I'm like, this is a sign from God. You know what I mean? And so we get into the pizza place, and he grabs my hands, and he's holding my hands, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is so fabulous. And what he says to me, he says, Patty, you're so busy in Alcoholics Anonymous that you're absolutely dying. And he was absolutely right. I was rushing around, and I'm trying to save the world, and I'm trying to help newcomers, because the only time I get a minute peace is when I am helping a new person. And he starts tearing apart that third step prayer. And he proved to me how I was still, that I was once again playing God. That I wasn't in charge of that ex-boyfriend, and I wasn't in charge of that ex-husband, and I'm not in charge of those kids. That God's in charge and I'm not. And I know God answers my prayers. He might not have sent him there to be my boyfriend, but He absolutely sent him there to 12-step me. You know, and what I found is I wasn't enlarging my spiritual growth. And Tom always was telling me this. And I just figured, he's just old. You know. And I started really doing that 11-step. And really started doing that 10-step. You know, like I've never done before. Me running around Miss AA, you know, 11-10, and I'm not even doing it. And I know, without a doubt, that God loves me. And God's in charge. And if it wasn't for the people like Clancy and Tom and Jim and Vicky and Steve Farnsworth, who laid down their life for me, that I would be dead. And as a result of having strong sponsorship and fabulous people in my life and the 12 steps and a God that loves me the best in the world. That's right, Jim. That I will be forever grateful for the people that God has put in my life, have taken from my life, and left in my life. And I want to thank you guys for letting me share with you today. Alcoholics Anonymous is the best show on earth. So if you're not having fun in Alcoholics Anonymous, find somebody who glows and let them show you how it's done. Because you don't want to miss it. It's the best ride in the world. Thanks.
Thanks, Patty. And for the main course, I've known this man for Well, since I got indicted, and he was one of these guys that you see at an AA meeting seems a little bit too happy. You know, where I was embarrassed for him. And I couldn't understand why somebody would be so damn happy about being here. But as a result of following some direction and doing what he does, my life got a lot better. I'd like to introduce Tom. Nice crowd.
I'm Tom Flynn, an alcoholic. What else would I be doing in an AA meeting? I'm an alcoholic. But I don't drink on Sundays, do I? I don't drink on Sundays. So I can go anywhere God's green earth on Sundays as long as I don't drink. It's that simple. But don't drink on Sundays. Period. That's it. Okay. Now, there's some other things I do on Sundays. Like I go to a meeting. Probably, well, I'll tell you. I got sober August 14th, 1980. Yeah. So if I stay sober another 5 months, I'll be with you guys 30 years. I was here 4 months before I knew you could leave. I didn't know you could leave. Nobody told me. That's where my head was, you know. I thought I had to go to New York and get a letter of resignation from the president of AA, you know, stuff like that. I'd never been to AA before. How the heck would I know, you know? And I was too proud to ask questions. I know none of you guys were that obstinate, but I was. So, I didn't want you to know how dumb I was. Well, you already knew when I walked through the doors. How would I know? I just got here. You already knew that about me, see? He knew everything about me before I opened my mouth. Now, you heard Patty and you heard John. I've been associated with young people and even older people like that, exactly like that, with that type of love, that type of gratitude, that type of action since I've been here. Yeah. Now, you got these others that come to AA. I do not judge them, but it's hard not to notice them. They generally sit in the corner, and they're always looking down at their navel, you know. And they're mumbling something about the speaker and all that stuff. And I call them, that's the RUNCO group. That's the Royal Order of Naval Contemplators. And you have them around, eh? Now, do never slight them. Try to help them. But you need them. They teach you the hard lessons. They teach me what not to do. They make those mistakes you used to make. They're remaking them for you. And they're taking your pain for it. So in God's economy, you will come to find no one is wasted. Absolutely nobody. God doesn't waste his kids. He doesn't do that. We do. We may do that, but God doesn't. The God I got, anyway. The God I got, he was like, he's a conservative. I guess, what would you call him? He's one of the green God, I guess. You know what I mean? He don't waste things. Anyway, I got to you guys as a result of some direct hits in my life. A near miss don't do anything for me. Well, I got lucky again. I missed that one. Woo. A bullet could go past my ear. See? And what was that, Tom? B flat. Boom. It hit the brick wall behind me. I could feel the damn brick chips on the back of my neck. That's all right. I still drive past the cemetery and I feel like a no-show. If you put my actions down on a piece of paper and you put the American mortality table next to it, the one the insurance companies figure life premiums, life insurance premiums, somewhere in the 70s, you would draw a cross between two. Should be dead at this point. Well, I should be dead at that point. Absolutely right. God had other plans. So here I am in accordance with God's plan. And here I am. AA has been a lot of fun for me. It doesn't mean everything pleases me. But it's been a lot of fun. My sense of humor came back in spades after I'd started sponsoring people. And I got de-uniqued sponsoring people. I don't know whether that's a word or not, but you know what I mean. So that's the main thing. I am de-uniqued. Yeah, when I got here, I was very, very unusual. Yeah. I was married for 25 years to a very fine young lady. And if she had any major character defects in the 25 years I was married to her, they never became so gross that I even never noticed them. So she was a nice lady. Okay. Well, I got divorced. I come from an Irish Catholic background where get married, you stay married, for better or for worse. You know, some of them just break even, you know, but it's the way it is. And I got divorced. I had a lot of guilt and shame about that because of the culture and the family and all that stuff. And the actions, my actions on the street that led to that divorce. I don't have to give you a diagram. You know. All right. And then I'm not going to do a fifth step either. So you did it, so did I. And I'm older than you, and I probably beat you to it. Okay? That takes care of that. Moving on. I got fired from a job at 20. I was now 27. How long was I with that company? 27 years. I got fired from it. I was the vice president of the company and owned 18% of the stock. They can't do that. Yes, they can. How do you know? They did it to me. Okay. Yes. I wound up. I came too, really. Came. Where am I looking around, you know? Look sort of strange and looking down. And there were glass patio doors, sliding doors, you know. And there was a very large person standing in front of the glass. So they were sort of silhouetted by the light. And, of course, my eyes weren't focused too good. I'm coming off a real bad bender. But I noticed that was a big person, and that big person came close. And that big person was a woman big person. I mean, she could play for the Eagles. Big. I mean, big, big, big. Big person. Get it? Yeah, big. She'd come up. What's your problem, Buster? She says to me. Buster, you know. What the hell she thinks she's talking to? I better straighten her out. See? I told her I used to be a big shot. And, you know, come from a fine school. I was a Hopkins graduate, you know. Academic scholarship, all that stuff. Vice president of a pretty good-sized company when I was 25. You know, here I am, 40, divorced, fired. Now I'm broke. And I come to find out. She says, have you ever been institutionalized? And I said, no. Well, she went on to explain to me this was a nut house I was in. That was the first question I missed. I'm in a nut house and don't know it. Yeah, what the hell, you know. And I called her Mr. Nurse. Oh, she was big. But she knew her business, and she had compassion. She knew her business. And she told me I could get well if I can follow some simple directions. She didn't tell me I was bad and I had to get good. She said, you can get well. I said, well, we'll get these chemicals out of you. We'll get you detoxed. That's what we call it. And then in a couple days, I'll start to give you some directions. And I said, yes, sir. She said, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. She comes in and says, this is the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. She says, you're an alcoholic. I says, okay, whatever it is. If I say okay, I'll get out of here, right? She says, you're catching on. So I told her, okay, I'm an alcoholic. I would have said I was a Japanese jet pilot. I didn't make any difference to me. Get out of there. You know, so. Some AA people came in. That's the reason I respect John so much. John is very grateful. When I come up here sometimes, he wants to take me over to the prison that he sponsors. He sponsors. And I go over with him. We have a ball, don't we, John? The guys in the prison, I'm in Baltimore. And the guys in the prison, around Thanksgiving, they look forward to me coming up here, don't they? I've been in prison, too. I've been on both sides. So. Well traveled. I go to AA in Northern Virginia. And that was probably one of the best things that happened to me. I go in there, and there's a guy up there. He's, I'm sober 5 years. Life sucks. I'm hanging in there. My wife is a bitch. My boss is a jerk. And I'm the only good driver in Northern Virginia. And if you want what I have, I said, what do you got next week? Cancer? Jesus. You know, why would I have to come here 5 years like him to learn to be a professional pitcher? Yeah, he's a Ronco guy. Royal Order of Naval. That's what I mean by Royal Order of Naval Contemplators. I'm not making fun of him. That's what he chooses to be. That's his business. He makes his, you know. So, I learned that quick. So I come into Baltimore and I go to one of these meetings. I thought it should be a meeting on my level. There's a lot of executives there. Holy Christ, what a bunch of stiffnecks. I go in there, and they're all like high-bottom drunks. You know, like an old friend of mine said, what'd they do, Tom, vomit pearls? That's what he is. I went to a meeting with some blue-collar guys. Some guys from Pittsburgh and stuff like that. They answer you one or two words. Yes, no, or go to hell or I'll punch you. You know? And, they're clear. You may not agree with them, but they're clear. And this one guy had real clear blue eyes. And ever since then, I look at people's eyes when I talk to them. And I remember my grandmother used to, she was an old Irish lady. She still had a brogue and all, you know. And I never heard her say a negative thing about anybody, you know. And she used to say, the eyes are the windows of the soul. She says, watch their eyes, Thomas. So I looked at this guy, and he was happy. He was able to say sober and happy in the same sentence all the time. He had it hooked up. That's what I knew. These other guys didn't. So I went over and I said, would you have time to, are you looking for a sponsor? He said, I know you don't know how to ask for one. You're new. I says, yes. He says, good. I could use a nut like you. I said, how'd you know I was nuts? I didn't even show you my paper. I had papers from the nut house. You know what I mean? Hey, don't laugh. That's like being a pedigree dog. You know what I mean? You got papers. I got papers, let me tell you guys. Said, here they are. So he says, right away, we are going to do the steps. He didn't ask me anything. Well, I said, yes. He says, let's start. One, are you an alcoholic? I said, I think so. He said, well, we'll resolve that later. Do you wish to stop drinking? He says, now all these questions I'm going to ask you require a yes or no answer. They do not require an explanation. I'm not your counselor or therapist, anything like that. I'm a sponsor. So I said, yes. So he says, do you think you could stop by yourself? I said, no. He says, do you want help? I said, yes. He says, do you want AA's help? I said, yes. He says, do you want me as a representative of AA and a sponsor? I said, yes. He says, are you willing to follow instructions even though you don't understand them or cannot project the outcome in your own life? I said, yes. He says, good, this will work out fine. That's the way I sponsor people. And anytime any guy I'm sponsoring balks on any of that, I'll say to him, when we were talking and we agreed that I was going to sponsor you, you said you were willing to go to any length. I'm telling you to have your fourth step ready by Saturday, and you say you won't have it ready by Saturday. Now, when you agreed to go to any length, were you lying then or are you lying now? And you know how alcoholic is. When you question his word, oh, jeez. That's where I hit him. Boom! Right there. They're generally ready for Saturday. Oh, yes, Tom, my word's my bond. That's what they say. Look, I used to be a great salesman, and guys used to say that to me. I said, look, son, I know your word's your bond, but why don't you sign it for me, because I'm not as smart as you. Now, if you mean it, you'll sign it. If you don't mean it, I don't blame you for not signing it. That's the way you can deal with that kind of stuff. So you learn to hit it head on. AA will teach you that you approach it with simple human dignity. That's what these 12 steps are about. 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are a set of principles, spiritual in nature, which you've practiced as a way of living. Not hanging in there. Way of living. See? Can expel, cast out, the compulsion to drink. And enable, make the drunk able, to live happily and usefully whole. How do you like that? They wrote that in 1946 when they were writing the traditions. AA had holistic healing in 1946. AA is on a cutting edge. Unfortunately, our medical profession, due to our lawyers and judges, have to practice defensive medicine. So the truth is a little tough for them. Anyway, that's another thing. So, well, it is another thing. Patty said she couldn't read or write. Patty is extremely bright, but she never knew it, and nobody ever told her. I've never seen a girl as effective as 12-stepping other girls. Now, she's got a story to lay them out. You know, now, some of these girls, they did this, they did that, you know, and they're human beings. And they have some degree of embarrassment about them. See? But when you have that loving God in your life, you've got one hell of a shield, and that's what she has. So she has courage. She has the shield of courage. And that shield is made of love, not steel. It won't rust. It's not heavy to carry. And it's hell to damage somebody carrying one. That's what St. Paul says. He puts a put on your armor. See? And that's what she did. She's probably helped more girls in Maryland than most hospitals. And she didn't have them sign nothing. Like she says, she couldn't read or write. Why sign? That's the way it is. This is, these 12 steps are a program of action. Program of action. Now, the reason I love this group so much, and I'll drive 3.5 hours one way to get here because of the way these people carry this message of joyful recovery out of the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. They carry the spiritual power. It's not religious. We don't tell somebody you got to believe this. You believe whatever you want. Now, if you got some shit going on in your life making you miserable, you got to figure out who picked this shit. You, certainly not AA. If AA picked it, show me in a book where it is and I'll listen to you. It's that simple. Alcoholism is an insidious disease. It's a disease of the soul and the body and the mind. The people who treat this disease best to me are like soldiers. They're in the trenches where the booze is, where the broken heart is, where the broken home is, where the broken spirit is, the whole and the soul is. These are God's soldiers. God don't send no amateurs into such a battle, battling for somebody's soul. He don't do it. He sends his best troops, his shock troops. So prepare yourself if you want to live joyous, happy, and free. If you want to live a life with purpose, direction, and unfailing power, prepare yourself. The best way to do it is with a sponsor and the big book. Now, recovery. That's different than sobriety. Sobriety is the absence of ethyl alcohol. That's not enough for an alcoholic. It's enough for a problem drinker, yes. You read in the front of chapter 5, it'll describe the difference between alcoholics and problem drinkers. It's a hell of a difference. Difference between chicken shit and chicken salad, you know. But that's, now what is it about? Well, it tells you right up front. Everybody, I'm going to discover the, I told my Wally, I was going to check on the inner child. He says, don't you do that silly shit, Tom. He says, now instead of having one drunk to deal with, you got two drunks to deal with. And the second drunk's an adolescent, you may be contributing to the delinquency of a minor. That's what he lack of knowledge is not your problem. Lack of knowledge is your problem. Lack of power is your problem. If you had the power, change it. If you don't have the power, get it. Where do you get the power? Out of the big book, the directions are there. It tells you. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. Oh. That's how you get recovery. Yes, you do the program of recovery in order to get recovery. That's not hard. It's that simple. Why is somebody going to go out and goof it all up? You know? Why? I have to understand it. After you understand it, you're powerless. Nothing you can do about it. You're like having a 500 horsepower engine and no transmission. You ain't going nowhere. That simple. You got to take the action. How do you take the action? The best way to take the action, you can stay around here 30 years and figure out how to do it. And if you don't get killed or die by then, you know, you might have a chance. Or you take the shortcut and get a sponsor who's already done it and follow the sponsor. It's that simple. I like doing those steps in a sponsor like this. Let's say that you're a superintendent in a big company and they want to make you an officer of the corporation because they believe in promoting from inside. And they give you the deal and tell you that you'll make more money and so forth, but you also have more responsibility. And they give you a book about twice as thick and say, this will be your new responsibilities. Now, we will give you this book twice as thick. And in 6 months, you should have it down. Or the vice president that you are replacing has agreed to stay on for 6 months and work side by side with you until you get the thing down pat. Which more likely would you choose? I think most people would take the experienced guy they're replacing and stay with them until they got it down themselves. And that's what a sponsor is like, isn't it? See how simple it makes it? That's what a sponsor's job is. Now, a sponsor is not a banker. A sponsor is not a hotel manager. Like some red-haired ladies I know. You know. Sponsor is none of those things. A sponsor is an alcoholic, AA sponsored alcoholic, who has been sober for some time, using the 12 steps and has experienced them in his or her life. That's all. Now, is sponsorship important? Yes. Now I'm going to use the big book from here. My sponsor said to me, I'm sober 4 months. He says, Tom, you got to get somebody to work with. Oh, Wally, I'm not qualified. Well, he says, I know that and you know that, but he don't know that. Get over there. Now, I told Wally I was willing to go to any length. And I know what I told him. Because he's pulled it on me before, and I knew where he was going to pull again. So I went over and got that guy, and I didn't want to kill him. I was afraid I was going to kill him. Right? When you work with the new guy, working with the new guy will make you use every spiritual and physical tool that AA has. That's the key of working with a new guy. You get a new girl, you just met her, you don't want to kill her. You like her, she, you know. So she asked you a question you haven't come across before. What are you doing? Now you get with your sponsor, right? Because you want to get a practical, working answer for this new girl. That's what we do. That's what responsible people do. Right? So now you're talking to your sponsor more than you have been. Because of the new girl. Before you talk to your sponsor because you're a little bit on the smart side, you're tearing through the big book trying to find the answer, ain't you? So the new girl's also put you into the big book, hasn't she? Because you don't want to kill her. She's a right nice girl. So she's got you talking to your sponsor more often than you have been. And she's got you into the big book. And you couldn't find the big book either. Your sponsor's out of town. And guess who's down on their knees that night longer than usual asking for directions to help someone else? You. So she's extending your prayer life. Right? Sure. You can't send her to a meeting. She's still pretty wayward, and you remember how wayward you were, right? You can't send her. You got to go with her, don't you? And you got to introduce her around, don't you? Now you're reintroducing yourself to some girls hadn't saw you in a month or so. And I'll say, oh, my God, there's Ashley. She's working with new girls. We're so glad. We're so glad she's working with new girls. Right? I got a new girl and I'm going to leave this state. And maybe I'll go talk to Ashley about her. This is what happens. This is the nuts and bolts of it. This is what happens in the trenches. This never happens in the headquarters tent. This always happens where the action is. See? So you working with a new person increases your spiritual tools. Now you hear people come around AA, they pick up his garbage and they drag it in here because they won't read the big book. I don't know why, but they won't. They'll listen to some moron. I don't drink today. I guess it makes me a winner. I didn't shoot nobody today. It don't make me state's attorney. That's crap. That's crap. Why would a human being made in the image and likeness of God settle for so little? Why would you settle for so little? Because nobody's ever really told you who you are. You're one of God's kids. That's who you are. Oh, Tom, I used to boost cars. So what? Did you do any today? No, I was busy today. You're probably working, right? You're self-supporting through your own contributions now, right? Well, yeah, sure. So I don't have time to boost cars, right? Okay, so you're not a car booster, are you? No. Oh, Tom, I used to do this when I was out on the street trying to get money for drugs. I did things that ladies don't normally do. Did you do it today? No. Okay, so you're retired, is that right? Yeah, Tom, I'm retired. Good. Now, if you got a job, that will enable you to stay retired. And if you don't use drugs, that will keep your expenses down. So your income's going to go up and your expenses are going to go down and your retirement's going to start. See, it's that simple. That's it. You are not what you have done. People do not believe that. This is, and as a man thinks, so he is. See? If you're a salesman in January and you quit that job, you become a surveyor in April and you quit that job, and you become a pilot in October, what are you? You're John. That's who you are. You are not what you have done, are you? If you can see that in the employment field, now apply that principle to other fields of your life. That's the principle. You don't go with a personality. Yeah. Water's water. In the morning it's water, and at noon it's water, and at nighttime it's water. You have people, you have three different personalities in one day, can't you? So you don't go by people. It's personalities. You go by principle. Always principle. It's consistent. If you want to measure with something, get something that's, you can, it's straight. Get a principle. That's straight. But you're not what you have done. I know that because I am not what I have done. What I have done. And I've been de-unique. I'm an average alcoholic. I know what the hell I am. See? I'm average. Oh, yeah. This is Robin here in the front here. She drove me up here. She had a 12-passenger van and a bunch of girls coming up here because they thought Clancy was going to speak. Isn't that true? And they found out that I was going to speak. So she canceled the van because the girls decided not to come because they've already heard me. And they didn't think it was worth the trip, you know. Well, that's what happens when you're popular. I remember one time I was trying to impress. Don't try to impress an AA. I was trying to impress this guy named Dudley. Dudley had an old 9-passenger Ford station wagon. And that car, even when it was empty, used to sit like that. Because I used to have it filled all the time, taking guys to meetings. You know? And I loved that old guy. He was so honest and so plain. And I was doing a meeting one time, and he took a liking to me. I guess he saw how stupid and how crazy I was. And I finished the meeting. He says, Tom, you did good. And I was trying to let him know how humble I was, but I wanted him to notice it. So I said, well, it really wasn't me, Dudley. It was God. He said, oh, it wasn't that good. That's pretty dark. That's pretty dark. Well, I've had guys like Dudley around me since I got here, you know. And you don't impress them. No. You don't impress them. But they will teach you. They will teach you. So When you're in recovery around AA, stay close to your sponsor and stay close to people who help others. Who help others. Do not be around these selfish people. They will drag you down. They are people who are takers. They're takers. Until you come in here and build up some type of reserve, you're vulnerable. See? We have to be givers. And that's the reason a lot of you say, oh, that book, the way it's written so hard. And English is so poor. It's a lot of shit. The English in the big book is excellent. Most people under 40 do not know how to read. You know how to scan. And you're taught scanning by the computer. But older people, in order to get information, did not have a computer for the information. So in order to get information, they had to read. They had no choice. They're no better than you. They just had to read. But you can't read. Now, when you come into AA, you will be required to read because your life will depend on it, see? Now, when your life depends on it, you will find out how much easier it is to read the big book. You know, it's that simple. Most people don't like me to tell them that, but I'm not running for office, so I don't need any votes. And I'm always sharing my experience, my strength, and my hope. I cannot share someone else's, you know. If that's not your experience, throw it in a trash can. Or if you think it's funny, go out and get your own experience. And then you can look in the mirror and laugh at yourself like I do. Sure. My sponsor says, Tom, you have to learn to laugh at yourself. And I was new in sobriety, you know. I had a lot of creditors. The IRS wanted to throw me in jail. And, you know, I had their attention anyway. And I couldn't say they were ignoring me. all kind of crap. You know, it's crap we go through. That's one day at a time. And I got through all that. So we go through it. You know, they said to me, how about those houses you used to own, Mr. Flynn? You know, we can put a lien on them. I says, Boo's got them, boys. You're too late. Well, we'll get a hold of your wife. And I says, divorce got her. You're too late there. Then I realized when I was down and had nothing, when I was working with God's kids, I was the strongest and the most invulnerable you'd ever see because I had nothing. If you have nothing, there's nothing to defend, is there? So they could come with tanks. It don't make any difference. I had nothing to defend. And that's the way I stay. I have nothing to defend. Period. If you want to have a lot of shit to defend, go ahead. Get a good army. They're expensive. You may have to use lawyers or those accountants that uses new creative accountants, the Enron boys, people like that. But I digress. I don't get into that. You can have things. You have all the things you want. I can have all the things I want. As long as I have my spiritual growth in first place. First place. Anything I put in front of my spiritual growth, I will lose. How do you know? Because I've lost it. That's a good way of knowing, Tom. So it's not either or, it's and. You can have the things of the world if my spiritual growth's in first place. Okay? That's how it is with me. How am I on time?
17 minutes.
17 minutes? Good. You an accountant? I figure. Guys like me, we can spot stuff. Lord. It's I got to tell you the greatest gift, in my opinion, of recovery. Most alcoholics that I know are great searchers. You've searched in churches, in books, in chemistry, in psychology, in psychiatry. You know, some of you would try even did a little voodoo. I know you guys. I'm one of you. So I'm qualified to say that. See? You know it's true. But you enjoy it, don't you? Yeah, sure she does. Why shouldn't she? It's true. Wally says, Tom, you got to learn to laugh at yourself. Why is that, Wally? He says, you will never cease to be amused. He's right. I never cease to be amused. I look at the mirror and I say, God, I know you're inside of me somewhere, but Damon, I seem to have you buried sort of deep today. Would you please put it in appearance? You know how I pray. You heard me, didn't you? That's the way I pray. Me and God are buddies. He thinks I'm funny. God says. I know. Well, I was going to be like a real good speaker, have a good education. I said, who in the hell am I, kid? That's no fun. I don't want to be like that. I said, what do you want to be? I said, why don't you get the facts, put the facts out as humanly as possible, but use some humor with it. Why don't you just be a clown for God? You've been a fool for lesser things. So that's what I am. I'm just one of God's clowns. It's fun. You don't need a license to be a clown for God. Now, I'm going to close as soon as I find this. This is what moves my whole life today. Oh, by the way, before I was at Hopkins, I was going to be a priest. Can you imagine that? Priest. If I had to become a priest, they would have probably had to put an addition on hell. Right. That's terrible, isn't it? It's terrible. We're searchers. We are searchers. Anyway, as soon as I can find this, we'll move it right along, because I don't like to hold things up either. At my age, I'll have it drop dead before I get it finished. I've got to be careful. Well, let me tell you a story about these guys. It was just last summer. The Pope was visiting the United States. And they were taking him from the White House to the Smithsonian. Boy, and they had this Pope car and this Secret Service. And so when he got out, they had four young men. Obviously, two were Secret Service. And obviously, the other two were Papal Guards in civilian clothes. You could look at them. You know. They were cleaned up, scrubbed up guys. Had four young guys like that. That same night, I'm coming here to talk. Right? I get out to that parking lot. Six young guys come out to greet me. Six young guys. The Pope got four. Tom, the drunk, got six. And they all came out looking like Jim and John, you know. And yeah, that's how they came. So the way that others treat you can well exceed your means. And they know the worst of me. They know that I'm a fallen down drunk. These guys know me. They know my shit. What does that prove to me? I never have impressed them and I don't have to. How do you like that? So it's okay to be me. And if it's okay to be me, I smile a lot. So I guess it's best if I just be a clown and smile a lot. I don't get ulcers or headaches or none of that stuff. Or don't have to say when I leave, I should have said this. I should have said what God directed me to say. Period. So if you don't like it, take it up with God or my sponsor. He's in Delaware. I'll give you his number. This is the greatest thing I learned. God absolutely loves me. I'm an embezzler. I'm an adulterer. I did all these things. I don't do them now. I do not brag about them, but I admit them. It's that simple. And it's not been and hasn't been for almost 30 years. My conduct or what I have done has not been a barrier between me and the love of God or how he uses me. Does not he use me to go to his kids who are sicker than me to carry them a message of hope, not hang in there? He's not sending me to a chimpanzee.
Okay.
The hell? Hang in there. Where does that shit come from? We don't have the right to deny the truth to the man or woman who wants to recover. I have the obligation to tell you what I did, not what I think. I don't want to scare you. Tell you what I did and tell you what happened when I did it. That's my obligation. How you handle that is your business. It is not my business. God has given you a free will. I do not upstage God. It's real simple. He gave you a free will. That's all. Well, tell him I don't seem to have talk to God. He's the guy who gave it to you. That's what I do. I talk to God. I don't ask God to help me do anything. No. How about the third step? No. I told my sponsor I was doing that, asking God to help me. He says, that's not what the third step says. That's what these yo-yos say, right? Oh, God's going to help me. Oh, Jesus. Read the book, you moron. You don't know what is garbage dragged in here unless you know what is the truth. And you will always know the truth if you read the big book. If you do not read the big book, you have no defense against garbage. It's your life. You value it. I just valued it. I valued it higher than you. Because I know you're God's kids. You're valuable. I know it doesn't make any difference what you've done. Because it don't make any difference what I've done. You will find, when working with people, okay, your character defects are your best tools. Your best tools. Suppose a woman comes in here and has a lot of shame, and you get her by herself with you on the side, and she gets to talk to you like this woman, and she gets to trust you, and you know that she likes you and she respects you. You tell her the truth, and she says, "You did it?" She says, "Yes, yes, I did, sister. I did it before you, and I think I did it better than you." Okay. That's what you do. The churches say, "Oh, you gotta be good." I don't know what good is, right? You know, if you're a Israeli soldier killing an Arab might be good. If you're a Muslim soldier killing an Israeli soldier might be good, huh? Got 10 minutes. Thanks. I can read now. Patty taught me. mercy, Lord. I can't find it. I put a page in here so I wouldn't lose it. Now I lost the whole damn page. Oh, well. But I wanted to share this with you because it's exciting. It moves and it will give you some extra hope. And it's the wisdom of the ages. There's nothing special about it. Just the wisdom of the ages. If I can, as soon as I can find the wisdom of the ages. Maybe it's my ages. Mercy, Lord. One guy said to me, Tommy, you got a lot of stories. I said, yeah, well, I did a lot of stuff. He said, you ought to write some of these stories down. And I thought about it. You know, we have egos. I got an ego. I'm very afraid of an ego for me. And with good reason. And I prayed about it. And I said to myself, there's libraries filled with stuff, commentary on what Christ said. They got libraries full of it, right? And they got all kinds of shit going. Christ did this, they got statues, and Christ knows what all. You know. What did Christ ever write himself? Nothing. That's my guideline. Not that I'm like Christ, but when I find, what should I do? I look for principles. And I follow those principles for me. I can't follow like Christ. I haven't tried walking on water, even shallow water, you know. But, but I like this. It will give your life, has given the life of men better than me, direction for 1,000 better years. Come on in and sit down. We're almost finished. We're not going to pass the basket anymore, are we? No, we're not going to pass the basket. You remember me putting that folder in there? Okay, this book don't remember me doing that. But anyway. 175?
Yeah.
Thanks. How the hell did he know? He's right. I did remember the page. He is absolutely right. Now we go out there. 175. What the hell's that? Rules of warfare. Jesus, I don't want no more of that shit. Yeah. I got a bayonet wound in Korea 50 years ago. And it hasn't bothered me until last year. Isn't that something? Yeah. I was there the night the Chinese came in unannounced. We had 2 hours of ammunition. We ran out of ammunition and went out. We went hand to hand all night. American troops are the best troops I've ever seen. I had 1,783 men, 8,500 Chinese. We beat them. The guys, the troops were from Maryland and Pennsylvania and Delaware, the 29th Division. They were good troops. Anyway, that's beside the point. Deuteronomy. Christ, I can't even spell it.
Look 165.
165? Well, I'm looking for Corinthians. Where's Corinthians? Two 175s. That's 350. Corinthians. There it is. This is it. Here you are. You're absolutely right. I am absolutely wrong, but now I am writer. Well, that's what AA is, isn't it? Progress rather than perfection. Isn't that what we're all about? Sure. You know, here's what it says. I love this. I live by this, too. And you can see how flawed I am. So if a flawed guy like me, as old as me, can live like this, look how easy it would be for almost perfect young people like you. I slid that one by you, didn't I? There it is. Lord said, let there be light. There's light. There we go. I love this song. This is the things that we pick. The things that we pick for being important in our life determines our life. The things you pick. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Ah. 2 minutes. Got to do it 2 minutes. Love does not end in 2 minutes. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love, these abide. These three. And the greatest of these is love. It's greater than faith. Oh, you gotta go and get some faith. Why? What do you want to settle for second for? Settle for love. You deserve the best. How will you know? You want to come to know that God loves you regardless of what you've done? You work with new people. You will come to see or feel in your heart that God has said, go, Tom. Go help Joe. Go help Bill. I trust you, Tom. There are people more talented than you, Tom, but they're busy. But you're ready to go. Go, and I will give you everything that you need to get the job done. Go in my name. Say, do it for fun and do it for free. Keep it anonymous. Keep it quiet. Do a good turn for somebody and keep it quiet. That's what you do. That's what love is. See? That's what love is. It's the greatest thing in the world. It tells you. Paul tells you. It's more powerful than you got faith to move mountains. You know, you may want to go with John Deere. I'm done. Okay. Again, I want to congratulate the sponsorship group for their fine work they have done in AA. And they fill my heart with love the way they treat me. With dignity and respect and stuff like that. And I know what I've done. You know? And they know what I've done. And they are imperfect, but look how they love me. And look how easy it would be for God, who is perfect, to love me. Got it? Simple, isn't it? If the imperfect can love you, look how easy it will be for the perfect to love you. It's a shoo-in. It's just a three-point shot. That's what it is. So love is where it is. And love is the action word. It's an action word. Oh, I love you. That's words. That doesn't mean nothing. I will love you until you do what I want you to do. What's that? That's not what we're talking about. As you can see, I'm not really mechanically inclined. But I am inclined enough in life to say, I know you and I love you. For when I listen to you, I feel and hear parts of you in me. And I hope when you hear me, you feel and hear parts of me in you. Do not be surprised at that. I suspect we have the same father. So we're related. We're God's kids. Okay? I don't care how different you think you are. You're still God's kids. So when you go out from here, go out and help God's other kids. Get yourself prepared to do that. I'm done. We get too done, you gotta go.